I was having this phone call conversation with someone up there, and I said, hey, I was reading this verse the other day. This is what stood out to me. It's kind of cool. And that person's like, oh, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to preach on something that's this, and that is exactly what I'm preaching on anyway. So that's a cool, like, it was an encouragement. And I thought, wow, God is cool the way he does that. Because I was just sharing it as a, this is a cool thing. But it encouraged that preacher, this is something I'm already studying on that I'm going to be talking on. So this is just an encouragement to the message that God already put in my heart. In other words, it was used by God as a separate thing to encourage him. So this morning, it'll be fast paced as we run into this, and we're going to get into it and start marching. But there's a reason that God put this on my heart this morning. There's a reason why he was moving on me that way about it. And there's a reason that my wife was saying what she was saying during worship, because worship is what we're going to talk about this morning that God had put on my heart. This is one of the things that late last night I was even reading a verse about it, because there's a lot of verses about worship in the Bible. Yeah. But Christians, again, it's one of those things where we get so religious, we understand ideas, but what about the practice of? I took Miguel to the church building in Kirkland, and I had to slow him down so much to where he would pause and worship, and then God showed up in the room. But people don't like the pause. They don't like the wait on God. They don't give him that kind of time. They don't focus in on him the way that they should do with worship. We think of worship, when I say worship to Christians, you know what most of you think of? Truth. You think of slow music. It's a genre to us. It's a type. I have it in my music. I have praise songs, fast ones, yeah. Right? Yeah. Slow songs, worship songs. Yeah. You could have, right? You could have rock, country, rap, worship. It's literally, we've turned it into a type of music. It's not even music. Worship's not music.
It's not music. No.
That's the funny part, is we've taken an area of Christianity and we've turned it into this whole other thing,
yeah.
So that we can understand, well, this is what you do to slow music. No, that's garbage. You've missed the whole point.
Right.
Music is praise.
Mm-hmm.
We've turned it into praise and worship, and then we've turned worship into the latter part, where we're like, it's the slow part you do at the end. No. Worship means to attribute worth to.
Yes.
That's what it means. To attribute. That's why you can worship your TV, because when your TV has a higher value than other things, you are attributing value to that TV higher than these other things. I can't right now. I have to worship my... You would never say that, would you? But you might do it. I'm going to worship this thing of mine. I'm going to worship this way of mine. I'm going to worship this possession of mine. I'm going to worship that show of theirs. Or that. You hear me say how poisoned we are in America with celebrity worship? Because we value them as though they're more valuable than other people.
Oh, come on.
What sense does that make? The people that go over there and pretend to do something while people record them have a higher value than other human beings.
Come on.
Just naturally. That's Miguel will attest to this. He would tell me, because he was in California, he's like, I met blank and blank, and blank and blank was cool, and he'd say this stuff, and I'd just be like, I don't care. Like... But he would say, tell me you haven't had those where you're like, I met that person, they're kind of, and he'd say this random, because he was in California, but have you ever seen me be like, oh my gosh, have I ever done that to that? Now, Miguel wasn't going like, oh my gosh, I met blank, but he was telling me he met so-and-so, but have I ever gushed about like, oh my gosh, we got to find that person, I'd love to meet. No, because I, first, wouldn't love to meet him, and second, could care less. I don't have that in me. Do you wonder why I'm not chasing around just... I have access to some very famous even preachers,
yeah.
Famous ones. But when God's anointing isn't pulling me to them, why would I go chase them?
Right.
I don't. I have access to them. Do you see me going to chase them? Because then I might get famous. That's not the game plan.
No.
I'm not trying to become famous.
Yeah.
I could do a way better job in the world than I would in the ministry.
Yeah.
Trust me. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I could care less about fame. Fame is a world's version of worship. Fame is something
come
we
on.
Do.
Come on.
It's something the world does. It's something human beings do. God's people know how to attribute worth to God, and that's what worship really should be. There's a power in worship. Taking a moment and just stopping. Some of my favorite worship times are times I was doing this with my brother Matt 2 days ago or something like that. And he wanted to play guitar, so I was in there playing guitar. Now, Up in the north, almost every service that my father would do, I would go up there at the end when they were done doing praise and worship. I'd go up there and I would play piano in free worship. Just sing, play piano. I'd have some people playing instruments along with me, a drummer and some guitarist, a bass, you know, whatever other instruments might be there. And I would just free worship and sing songs in the spirit or just freely worship, and they'd just come to me there. Well, I would do that so much, though. It wasn't just in service, because that's worship. I would do that at home. I would do that wherever I was. I find songs that will help me to just take a break and shut down and stop, because that's the whole... If your time's more important, then you're not worshiping, because you're not giving him his value, saying you're worth more than my time.
Yes.
So you're not stopping, and you still want to do the thing you're doing. You're not worshiping just because music's on. I covered that in the beginning. That's not what worship is.
Right.
You're worshiping when you'll stop and give him value over your thing you want to do. That, to me, is real worship. Real worship is you stop, give him a minute. Don't keep doing. You will want to keep doing.
Yeah.
Technology will make you want to keep doing.
Yes,
you could be in a moment when God could be yelling in your ear,
and
because you're already in your app ready to send a text, you'll just, let me finish that real quick, and you will shut him down, and he will surely not be speaking to you the same thing when you're like, okay, now I'm listening. Oh, it wasn't anything. Because you couldn't shut down what you already had an intention of, a plan of, a thought process. You didn't want to stop and pause you, so you paused him.
Oh, come on.
That's not worship. If anything, it's worshiping yourself. It's valuing yourself as higher than God, higher importance than his word, higher importance with what he might want to say to you. And the reason why it matters, we're going to read about here in a second, but it is because that is the doorway. That is the beginning. This, do you remember the woman at the well with Jesus? I'm not going to go read the whole story. You can go into John yourself. It's right away early in John, like John chapter 4. You can go read it for yourself. But when she's at the well and she's talking to Jesus, remember, this is the woman that says, oh yeah, you know, husband, what? No, truly you've said that, like, remember this woman? The one that everybody else would be like, adulteress, you know, prostitute, kill that lady. This is that kind of a woman that had sin issues. But one of the coolest parts to me that people forget about is Jesus said to her, there is a time coming when true worshipers are going to come and they're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yeah, amen.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
He's talking to this woman about worship?
Yeah.
What?
Come on.
Talk about off in the utter field. Where did this come from? How did she get into worship? Because she brought it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he had to verse her a little bit.
Yeah.
We know what we worship. You don't even know when you worship. We do know what we worship.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a time coming. You're going to have to go read it yourself, I can tell afterwards, but you'll go. I'm sure you'll go do it. Jesus was trying to talk to her about worship, and we all know this was what? This was a moment in this woman's life when her world got turned upside down, when sin started to fall away from her, when she got great breakthrough towards her future, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it was a go and sin no more moment, and what did she go do? She went and told everybody about Jesus.
Yeah.
One thing I'm not going to do in this ministry is start barking at everybody, hey, go witness and go talk to people, because the Holy Ghost is supposed to come on you, and then you will be a witness for him. So I'm not going to have you go be a witness for him when you're not even acting anointed, not even getting the Spirit of God on you, not even worshiping him. Because what you'll go be a witness of is religion, and we don't need religion spreading any further. We need the relationship of Jesus Christ and his reality spreading, like this woman went and did, spreading the word of God to other people. It will happen when you allow the Spirit of God to flow through you. When you're sitting there not doing it, it will not happen. And it is because, I promise you, you're not allowing the Spirit of God to flow through you, because the Spirit of God reaches people. So when we're not letting him free. You know, I said this to Ernesto, but I mean this in a sense for especially you single guys. But Miguel's a good example of this. He's not married yet, but I'm pretty sure he'd like to be married. But he's not married yet, but he's been with me for years.
Yeah.
What, 7, 8, 19 years? No, it feels like it, like he's always been there. I don't even, you know, I can remember when he showed up, but I still feel like he was there before then. But that's just part of the anointing. But he's been in there all those years, so people go, well, shouldn't he have these great things in his life? But he spent that time sowing into me, so you know what he has? He has access with me.
Yep.
If you want to reap in people, you have to sow into people.
Come on.
You want to reap. He wants a human being. You know, when I got turned around, I was sowing all the time, going out and talking to people. It was very quickly God brought me my bride because I sowed in human beings. You want to reap in finances? What do you sow? Cake? You sow finances. Right? You want, we already know this. There is no fruit that can come outside of the seed that was sown for that fruit, right? Yeah. Do apples come from orange seeds? Anybody? This is Sunday School 101. No. So if you're not sowing in human beings, if you sow your time, what are you going to reap? Time. You're not going to feel as rushed. Your day is not going to feel as fast.
Come on, that's good.
You sow in labor, what are you going to reap? You sow in human beings. When you go out to sow Jesus Christ into people, what do you think you're going to reap in? People, relationships, friendships, spouses. When you're not out there going to sow into people, when you're not out there witnessing, you're shutting down those avenues because you don't have as much in that bank account. You have to have a deposit to make a withdrawal. Now I'm going to get to the actual point here. Worth means something to me. It's the same thing when you say, how much is that worth? What do you mean? You mean, what's its value, right? That's the number. If we were to say, hey, how much is that car worth? What we mean is, what's it cost, right? What's the price? What's its value? That's what you say. How much is this ring worth? Oh, it's worth its value. We give its value, right? So worship is attributing value to Jesus. What that means to me is it's when we say to Jesus, you are enough. When we say to Jesus, you can do anything. When we say to Jesus, we're ready for the miracle because you can do miracles. When we say you're limitless, that's when we say you are good enough, you are more than enough, and with you all things are, that's worship. Worship is when we say to God, you are able. That is our heart as Christians to God. That's that moment of awe before God where we recognize He's really God and we start to believe. That's worship. When we attribute the value to Him, that He is valuable enough, that He is truly able or of worth enough. It's part of belief. Is there value in Him? Can God really move? As Christians, when we fight the battle, especially you real religious people, when you're really religious, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you go in and out of being real religious. But when you're acting real religious, you want so deeply to believe that you trick yourself into the fact that you're believing when you're actually doubting with the hope that it might happen. But you're no longer in belief. You just want, we all know what it feels like. We've all been there at some point. But it's you can't be there as a baby Christian. You can't. We don't have enough in us to be trained to just try and believe when we don't believe, like have the hope of a hope. It's like when somebody walks through a room with cologne on and then when they leave and it's still in the room, we have like the air, the slight mist of memory of what a hope and faith was like, but we don't have it. In other words, I've preached on this before in Bartlett. I said there's a whole group of people that believe God can. If I said to you, can God heal you? Yes. But they don't believe He will. They believe that He can. Oh, He's capable. He's able. God can deliver me. God can set me free. God can heal me. He can, but will He?
Come on.
Because those are people that like to believe that there's a God that's able, and they say it because of religion, but they don't believe He's going to do something for them. They don't believe He will.
Come on.
That's a nasty little trick that religion plays on you, and it messes with us. Now, if you'll let me preach this, I promise I'll get to the end of the message. These are little rabbit trails I like to take. Rabbit trails happen in messages when somebody inside of that room or inside of the congregation is putting a draw on God and he puts it to the minister and the minister isn't so stuck on their message, so they let God just share the part that they want to share and it pours into someone and then he gets back onto the message that God has for him that's more for everybody.
Yeah.
So that'll happen sometimes. You'll hear little rabbit trails happen and it's God instilling something in different people that have a question or a desire in their heart and God pours out specifically for them, unplanned and not part of anything. And we call them rabbit trails, but really it's just God depositing a piece of bread or a fish or something for this person over here, and then it comes back, and now we get to all feed. So that's what happens. Whenever you get fed on those, and you're like, hey, why is Pastor talking to me? He shouldn't make it so personal in front of everybody. Everybody knows. No, it's just God dealing with you in a rabbit trail, and nobody has any idea of what's going on. I could call out names sometimes because God gives me insight. There's some people have said stuff to me, and they'll say, you know, we're battling this, and they expect almost for me to be like, and I'm just like, no, what do you don't think God tells me stuff? I'm not going to tell you everything He tells me.
Yeah.
I don't need to. Neither can I do anything about most of it. I don't pray. That's why he tells me half the time. So I'm ready and prepared. If you ever say something to me and I'm shocked, I would be shocked. Think about it. It's deep. You're going to get there. You're going to be like, oh. So let's go into Mark chapter 5. Okay. I want you to see something. This is cool. This is a story as a kid especially I remember. But this is an amazing story. They came to the other side. You go read beforehand and read about what was happening, why, and the winds and the waves. And the if you remember, this was a miracle. Other side of miracle. But what I'm saying is, okay, fine, I'll go read part of it. When on the same day, when the evening, we're going to jump back into the chapter before in verse 35. On the same day, in the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was on the one of the little boats, and they were with him. And the wind and the storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. So Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The winds and the waves are coming. Everybody's afraid in the boat. What we call this is one of those journeys where everything was not cool. Have you ever been in a car driving in the rain? Yeah, you live in Florida. Don't be liars. Yeah, you have. So have you ever been in a car driving in the rain when it's so much rain that even with the windshield wipers on full, you're like, I can't see the front of the hood? You ever been in that car? Well, Ernesto's been there almost every time it rains. But you're getting healed with your vision. So when that happens, doesn't it feel a little different? You know what I noticed? There's a stance that happens with people. Everybody's a grandmother immediately. Everybody two hands the wheel. They get up like this. Their back is straight. They're way more attentive to everything going on in front of them. They all slowed down. Nobody's like, ah, sweet. Floored this thing. Let's see what we can really do in the rain. No. Everybody becomes immediately more attentive.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
It's just, this is what happens. That kind of travel, 10 minutes of that will feel like an hour.
Yeah.
The disciples had that kind of travel coming across that sea.
All right.
Okay? This wasn't a smooth journey. This cost them something. Probably some of them were like, as soon as they hit shore, they're probably like, where's the closest bush? Like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, for the next hour, I'm just going to be throwing up and then going to the bathroom in that bush. Checking to make sure the bush is safe. Where's all the bushes? You know, these guys had a trip, is what I'm saying. There was a great ministry deposit, then a trip with a battle for them, but not for Jesus. He was fine. And then it come to the other side. That's important so that as we read through this, you start to get a grip on what happened. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the... Now, this is, if you don't know the story, this is when they crossed over. This is cool to me. This wasn't just the way I pictured it as a kid was. They landed on the shore, and there it was. The cave, the guy, like the whole situation with the demoniac. It was like... Because us as, especially as Americans, we're like, oh my gosh, how far did they have to, like, did they get an Uber over to the demoniac then? Was it not right there? Like, don't tell me this wasn't right next to the sea where they landed. Like, how many feet did they have to walk? There was part of a journey involved. When they came to this land, this wasn't like right around the corner the way that I thought in my head. Like, they landed and, oh, I see him, he's right there. That's the way I pictured it in my head growing up as a kid. But the reason I want you to understand this is there's a journey and there is a price, and you're going to go to a far off place and it's not going to be your home. It's not going to be what you're used to. This matters to me because it mattered to Jesus. If Jesus is willing to go all this effort, and I think about this because especially here we are in Florida, you know, we have a smaller congregation here because we're in the beginning, not because this is going to be our church going on. I'd be fine with it. We'd just start having church all the time on the beach. And some of you wouldn't be able to handle that, but it wouldn't bother me. You could stay in your cars and I'd be on the beach doing that. But that's not what God has for us. That's not what he wants for us. So we have a different plan from God, and he went out of his way. And we're here in Florida coming out of our way for the plan that God has here. And it's going to do great things in this region. And it surely did do great things in this region where the demoniac was. But there was a man who was at the tombs. So again, the first thing that they did after this journey, it says immediately, the first thing that they did after this journey is there's a man that's at the tombs, and this guy was a little bit of a mess. He had certain amounts of demons, unclean spirits. Let's skip ahead a little bit. Well, anybody, if you go to verse 3, anybody whose dwelling is among the tombs,
yeah.
Like, you ever met somebody who's like, I just love walking through graveyards? If that person lived there, it'd be a whole different thing. You're like, why do you like walking through graveyards? I understand some people like to read the headstones and look at the things. But when you're like, I want to live there,
yeah,
it's another level.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, oh, I live over at the graveyard, you'd be like, maybe don't have him over for dinner. Like that guy, like, it takes a special, I don't even like it when you have to, like, would you like to have a house across from the graveyard? No. Because you believe in ghosts? No. Just, what? Why would you want that? It's not where I want to live. I'm not afraid of graveyards, by the way.
No.
Not whatsoever. There's only dead bodies there.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, I'm not afraid of manure either, but I don't want it right outside of my door. You know, I'm not afraid of dead animals. I'm not afraid a dead raccoon's going to bite me, but I don't want it outside my house.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to lay this out for you. No one could bind him, this guy. He's living there. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains. And now, how did he get bound with shackles and chains? Because he liked playing with them? No. Because people did it.
Yeah.
Say abused.
Abused.
Yeah. When people didn't know what to do, and this guy couldn't be used, he was abused. This is what happens. This is what society does. This is what people do. This is what will happen to you in your life. And many of you have suffered different versions of abuse or are somebody who abuses. No, I don't beat anybody. That's not what I said. Abuse is any time you take something and use it for the wrong purpose. When you take a drill and you try to hammer a nail with it, it's an abuse of your drill because you're using it wrong. You're using it wrong. I'm sure you all love that. I like saying it. I don't know why everybody else didn't like hearing it. That's what abuse is. It's misuse. You can abuse your spouse. You can abuse your children. You can abuse. It is not just purely physical. It's not a beating. It's not just sexual. It's not just, with words. I was, verbally abused. It's not just that. Even though I always wonder about that one. Like, how is that a? Anyway, I'm not. I must have a thicker skin than some people. I don't know. I'm sure I do. Actually, I'm not wondering. I know I do. I don't believe words unless I want to believe them when people yell them at me. You know, if you want to yell something bad, I'm just like, eh. What? I don't care enough about your garbage words. Now, you start saying some powerful ones or God's ones or real ones, I care about it. The word I care about. Words matter, but I'm not going to be insulted by words and then believe those ones.
Come on.
I'm not doing it. Anyway, he'd been shackled and chained, and he'd been, let's go back into... And the chains had been pulled apart by him. This is in verse 4. And the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. It's like taming a dog. You know, it's like taming an animal. Nobody could get this guy to settle down or calm down. It's another way to say it. It doesn't just mean like, sit. Ah, he won't do it. You know, bow, shake hands. It's not what they meant. They couldn't calm this guy down. Like, if you've ever seen a lion in the wild and one was there, you would just wet yourself and faint. But... if you saw one that was in a zoo, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
Why? Because it's tame.
Yeah, come on.
It's been calmed down. No one could do that. No, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, always, wow. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. It's interesting because it isn't like nowadays. Ernesto has a plethora of weaponry he could hurt himself with if he wanted to. But this guy had stones. That's what he had. You know, it's also interesting because stones were used for writing down the law and anything that was going to be permanent.
Sure.
And he was cutting himself with whatever he could find. But, I mean, these were anything sharp that he could get a grip on. Now, this is what happens. I want you to go back. Let's go back for a second. Verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Yeah.
You see how it says immediately? So as a kid, I thought that meant it was right there by the boat. But there was a distance to cover. It's the first thing, meaning the first thing that happened. Doesn't mean it was no work and no effort once they got off the boat. And the reason you know it is when you read down here in verse 6, it says, when he saw Jesus from afar. A close? No. I heard a close? No. I heard it was next door? No. I heard get in the car? No. Afar. It's different. You know, this reminds me of when I was in Russia and the people were like, we need to go down the block. And I'm like, get a car. Like, wave down a taxi. Everybody's a taxi here. Just wave one down. Let's go down there. It's just a couple miles. Yeah, a couple miles in American is like, you need to have a marathon to do that. Get a car. They're like, they're laughing at this time. I'm like, guys, it's minus 37 degrees out. That's a couple miles and minus 37 degrees out. We're getting a car. Like, call me a lazy American if you want to. I'm going to just call it intelligence. You call it what you want. And I tease these guys the rest of the day about this. So, you know, back and forth with them, I'm like, that's why you guys are thin. That and the fact you don't have enough money for food half the time. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons why you're thin. And I kind of teased them, and then they'd kind of tease me, like, you know, you need to start walking more and go places. It was, and we were both right. That's the best part. Jesus saw, when he saw Jesus from afar, listen to this, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." This is why I'm bringing this up. This is what's so powerful about this. You go read it in your own time. You go and read afterwards. You can go and read around it. You go read right through the middle part of it. This is what's so powerful to me. 6,000, between 2,000 and 6,000, that's what a legion. A legion was one of the measurements that they used when they would have 6,000 men. So it could be between 2,000 and 6,000 demons in this guy. Right. Not a couple. No. Think of the most perverted, messed up person you've ever seen, the most violent, abusive person you've ever seen, the most demonic, messed up, worldly person you've ever seen, the most carnal, the most, nowadays, think of somebody that's a Democrat, you know? I'm just teasing you. I got a laugh out of all the Republicans, and any Democrats are like, whoa, 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 you lost me there. No, think of somebody that's so messed up and so far, so opposite of what the Bible says. They're so far over there, and this guy's worse. Think of your hardest day, your most backslidden day, your most worthless day down that road of dead-end garbage, and this guy's many times worse. Thousands of demons in this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, on your worst day, how many have you had to deal with?
Come on.
You know, we could do a raise of hands. How many people here have been naked by a fire, cutting themselves with stones, yelling at a graveyard? You know, nobody? Nobody? That's a little past your normal, everyday, messed up, have a demon issue. Like, that's not just yells when you shouldn't yell, is uncontrollable, too selfish, what a brat that. No, this is naked, by a fire, cutting yourself with stones in a graveyard.
Come on.
Well past.
Come on.
Well past the line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Are you this bad? No. You've never been this bad. If you've been this bad, we should have had a talk by now.
Yeah.
Right? Even 6,000 demons couldn't stop this man from running and worshiping Jesus.
Come on.
6,000 demons couldn't hold him back. Jesus always prepares a way for us to come to him to worship him. He always makes a path. There is always, no matter your situation, there's always a road to come and worship Jesus. So when you're busy and you're tired and you're beat and your life is, you know, spoken up and yelled up and your problems are shouting in your ear, there's always a road for you to come to worship Jesus. They couldn't stop him from worshiping. They couldn't stop him from getting to Jesus. And they knew the moment he got to Jesus, we're done for. So they cried out, "Please, we already know we're done. We know we're out. We know we're done for. Please let us stay in the area. Don't make us leave the whole area." Because demons like to stay where they're comfortable. That's why when you make room for them, they want to come back into that comfy room that you've left for them in your house and in your ways and in your possessions and in your practices. They like repetition and they want to stay where they're at. They didn't even want to leave the area. But they already knew they were done for. Your problems know they're done for if you can go and worship Jesus. This guy didn't even have to say a word. He just had to bow down before Jesus and say, "You have value. You have worth. You're the answer. You're able." So he got to Jesus, and the act of worship opened up a door for this man to be delivered and set free.
Amen.
Even when he didn't know the words, we don't hear the words. Even when he was outside of his own control, he was able to get enough control to march and run immediately over to Jesus, because inside of us is all built in our spirit. Inside of us is given to every human being the path to Him. You can never outrun and go too far beyond God's love for you. You can never exhaust it. You can never disqualify yourself from the love of Jesus. You might disqualify yourself from a call. You might disqualify yourself from a position, but you can never do it from the love of Jesus because it's endless. He loves everyone and all of us, and He's always made a path for you. So there's always a way. When you feel like there isn't, your busiest day, your hardest moment, there is always a way if you will shut yourself up, shut your brain up, shut your mouth up, shut your actions up, shut the yelling up, and you go back down onto your knees before Jesus, and you don't even need to have a word. That's not what worship is. You don't need to have a song. You just need to get back on your knees and kneel before Jesus and take the time before Him to say you have value over these things, and God will bring breakthrough for your life. This man got his deliverance, and it brings to mind the woman with the issue of blood. It brings to mind so many situations in the Bible. If you can just get to Jesus, He's the answer. That is the whole point. Can you get down on the ground and just touch? Can you just get close? Can you get back to where you reach Him? And this is the point of this morning and of worship, is if you can't get the worship of God, the Bible says in spirit and in truth, meaning you cannot do this with an insincere heart. It must come from inside. It is not with the natural. You know, someone said to Ernesto, you know, do you dance? And Ernesto's like, no, I'm not that guy. And Miguel's like, I dance. I'm dancing right now, even in telling you I'm dancing. Like, you can't stop me from dancing. Worship sometimes happens in praise, and it will happen in praise and worship, what we call, you know, worship. When you take praise into a place where you're attributing worth to God and it's about Him, then you will shut yourself down, and then people like Ernesto will dance, but not in a dance that you'd want to see, not in a hokey pokey or a do this. So what happens more often than not is they don't know how to even dance as a Christian. So when God moves on people like that, I've watched it. I've watched God move on some people that are like, no, I'm not a dancer. And you know what they do? They just jump. They don't know what to do. Like when David danced with all of his might, it just means like he jumped around. It wasn't like some kind of waltz. It was, my body is just going, I got too much in me. The power line hit me and I'm too alive. And people go, well, I don't do that in church. You'll do it when the Spirit hits you. You will. You won't mean to. You won't even be able to stop yourself, and you'll be so happy you won't care. But then there's the people that try to do it in fake. And what they do is they worry about everybody around them. And I know that people do this so much. In the beginning, when I first got turned around, I used to turn all the lights out in the sanctuary except the stage. Come on. I did that because I knew people here are worried about other people here seeing them. Yeah. I used to do that even when I'd go lay hands on them, shut down all the lights out there, so that if I prayed for you, you wouldn't be afraid to weep or cry or get on your knees or worship God. Or because I was tired, sick and tired. Yeah. So early on about people being so worried about what other people think instead of wanting to get a real touch. Many of us are like that. Do you think that the woman with the issue of blood was the only human being in that whole crowd who needed a miracle? No, but she's the one that got it. There was probably hundreds of people standing there too proud to get on their knees in the dirt to try and touch and reach out to them. They didn't even want to push in. They didn't want to impose on anybody that was around them. And they were too big and proud of themselves that they just thought, if He wants to bring it, He'll bring it. You know, early on as well, in Dr. Barclay's church, I took time and I said, I went up to the altar and I said, God, I need a touch from You and I'm going to get it. So I just went up to the altar and I stood there. And everybody, Doc dismissed everybody, and everybody went down to sit, and there I was, just standing there. And everybody's off sitting, and Doc tried to go over here, thinking, well, he's probably praying, and I'm going to. So he went over on this side of the stage, and he started to share and start his message, trying to give me time so that I could get off of the front and go sit down when I was done, thinking, you know, he must be worshiping God, and he's just in the moment. And after he did that for long enough, I was relentless. I was like, no, I'm getting prayed for. That's the only way I'm being taken down from the front here. So that's what's going to happen. You don't have to have an altar call or do any of that. Like, I'm getting prayed for. And so finally he got over there and he's like, you're not going to leave, are you? No. And like Doc, so oftentimes, you know, he'll be like, well, you're a brat. You know, you're just, but he didn't say that. But he's like, all right. So he went over there and he prayed for me and I got a word and nobody else did. But I had to deal with, what are they all going to think? Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily God built me in with a pre, I don't care. So I had all of those backed up. You know, so I just, that wasn't even, I honestly wasn't hindered by that even a little. I had to stand there by myself when everybody else did the opposite. Because I wanted to answer. Everybody else stood there, but here I was crawling and reaching. I had to have a hunger for what it was that I wanted out of God. And it wasn't what I wanted just out of Doc, it was what I wanted out of God.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
And God had such a high level of worth to me and value that I knew if I could just get there and get that word, it would change my life. So I'm telling you this morning, if you don't have worship in your day, if you don't have it in your life, you're not acting like a Christian. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm saying you're not acting like a Christian. You don't have the chops to stand up in the middle of a storm. You don't have, you're still going to be bound by graves. If you will look at any moment in your life and recognize, I could give God this time or I can give it to me, which is going to be better? One of them can change my life forever, and the other one of them is going to keep me bound. And many of you face this, and many of you have faced battles. How many of you have had the same battle over and over? I have news for you. You want to be free from that battle, the same over and over type battle, the same over and over type fight? You know how you beat it? By getting over you, because you will always go back to your same battles.
That's right.
The Bible says like a dog returning to its vomit. That's what you'll act like. You'll go right back to the same thing you just threw up and lap it back up. But with God, it never has to be the same again. So everybody stand up. I'm going to pray. I encourage you, find the avenue God has given you. It's in every moment. It's in every place in your life for all of us, no matter how you've been, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how messed up you've been. If a guy with 6,000 demons could run to Jesus, so can you.
Oh, come on.
And you can be as free as that man was, surely, and you can be as free as you need to be. God can move in your life and set you free and give you great. This man was immediately adjusted the way that society could deal with him because he went and worshiped God. Give God a little bit of your time and miracles can happen and breakthroughs can happen. Like this woman, like this man, I encourage you, get it as part of your day. Take a minute, take a break. You do not need music. You just need to shut up.
Come on.
Stop yourself. Hit the brakes on you long enough to give him some value and say you're able. God, you are surely able. You said you'd do it. I know you'll do it. I just don't believe that you can. I believe you will.
Amen.
You're able. Give God that time. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning.